Let's open our Bibles again tonight to Exodus chapter 3. Exodus, the third chapter. These days, at least in our part of the world, folks have babies and they give their babies names because they sound pretty or they sound unusual or because someone in the family has a similar name such as that. In other days and other times, names were given to people with significance. They meant something distinct about that person. Our last names, generally, most of us, our last names come from just such a background. I've never checked our family tree. I don't have any interest in knowing much about my ancestors. I know the ones I know too well, so I'm not too interested in knowing much about my ancestors. But I'm told that Fortner is a German derivative. It comes from a word meaning ford. And Fortners were keepers of the ford, keepers of the crossing. Smith, must have been a lot of goldsmiths, silversmiths, or blacksmiths. It refers to someone who was a smith. In the scriptures, can you imagine what delight must have come upon him when Jacob, whose name means tricky, cheater, supplanter, was given a new name by God Almighty. He called him Israel. He said, your name from now on will be called Prince with God. Oh, what a blessing. When David and Bathsheba had a son and the Lord took him, then they had another son, and they called his name Solomon. And that name means peace. David spoke in faith and confidence. I'm certain, he said, this son is peace. God is at peace with me and I with God. In spite of all that's taken place, peace. And then what joy must have flooded his soul when God sent his prophet and said, call the boy's name Jedidiah, beloved of the Lord. Nothing's changed. What a blessing to look at those names that God gives to men and see how God deals with them. But God takes names to himself. Names by which he makes himself known. Names by which he describes his character and his work. When the Lord God appeared to Moses in the burning bush and sent him to deliver Israel out of Egyptian bondage, Moses knew that the children of Israel were going to ask him who sent him. And when he told them who sent him, they were going to require, before they would pay any attention to him, that he tell them distinctly who he is, that which distinguishes him from everyone else. By what right does Moses have to come and command us this? And so Moses asked God to show him his name. Look in verse 13 of Exodus 3. Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers hath sent me unto you. And they shall say to me, what's his name? What shall I say unto them? I'm going to tell them, as you told me, the God of your fathers sent me to you. And they're going to say, what's his name? Who is he? What's the God of our fathers like? Then in verse 14, the Lord Jesus, our great God, identifies himself in his distinct character as God, the eternal, self-existent, self-sufficient, independent I am. And God said, I remind you again, the one speaking here is our Lord Jesus Christ. God said to Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. And with that, he describes his character. Then in the 15th verse, the Lord Jesus tells Moses his name. And God said moreover unto Moses, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, the Lord God. If you can somewhere make a note, if you're taking notes in the margin of your Bible, the Jehovah God. the singular God, the Jehovah God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, hath sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. Now, once the Lord told Moses his name, he told Moses that when the children of Israel knew his name, they would trust him, and they would follow his servant Moses. Look at verse 16. Go and gather the elders of Israel together, and say unto them, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob, appeared unto me, saying, I have surely visited you, and seen that which is done to you in Egypt. And I have said, I will bring you up out of the affliction of Egypt, unto the land of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, unto a land flowing with milk and honey. Now watch verse 18. And they shall hearken to thy voice. And thou shalt come, thou and the elders of Israel, unto the king of Egypt. And ye shall say unto him, the Lord, the Jehovah God of the Hebrews, hath sent us. And now let us go, we beseech thee, 3 days' journey into the wilderness, that we may sacrifice to the Jehovah, the Lord our God. Now, I stress these things because I want you to understand the basis of our faith in Christ is His name. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We call upon people everywhere to trust and worship Christ our God. We call upon ourselves to worship and trust Christ our God. I'm calling upon my own heart and yours, saying, trust Christ, worship Christ, obey Christ, follow Christ. But the fact is, I know that no one can trust Him who doesn't know Him. No one can trust Him who doesn't know Him. You cannot trust an unknown Savior. You cannot believe an unknown God. The only way you can trust Him is to know Him. So I want to tell you who He is. What is His name? That's the title of my message tonight. That's the question that God our Savior answers in this 15th verse. God said moreover unto Moses, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob hath sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. First, the Lord Jesus tells us the Lord God, Jehovah Elohim, Jehovah God, Jehovah to be worshipped, Jehovah who rules, is my name forever. And second, He identifies Himself as our covenant God and Savior, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And then He says, this is my memorial unto all generations. That is to say, this is the name by which I will be known, worshipped, trusted, and obeyed. This is the name by which I will be remembered forever. Now you may ask, well, Brother Don, why is it so important for us to know the Savior's name? I'm glad you asked. Only as we know His name, only as we know His name, that is, only as we know that which distinctly identifies Him as God our Savior, do we trust Him. It's of utter insignificance. It's utterly meaningless. It's utterly of no value to say to someone, believe on Jesus, unless you tell them who He is. Now let that sink in. It's utterly meaningless to say to someone, believe on Jesus, unless you tell them who He is. For nobody knows who He is, except they be told from this book who He is. To tell them who He is to tell them that which distinguishes Him as God, our Savior, the Christ, who is spoken of throughout the Scriptures. And once men and women know His name, anybody who knows His name, everybody who knows His name, oh, if God will teach me who He is, if God will teach you who He is, you will trust in Him. Listen to the Scriptures. They that know Thy name will put their trust in Thee. For Thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek Thee. The name of the Lord is a high tower, the wise man says. The righteous run into it and is safe. Now, I have two reasons for preaching this message. First and foremost, I want to exalt, magnify, extol, and praise the name of God my Savior. Oh my God, I want that more than life itself. I want to extol, magnify, honor, and praise Him. In my preaching, yes. In my life, in my thoughts, in my speech, in my actions, in my heart, in the totality of my being. But I bring this message to you for this purpose, that we here, this hour, might extol and honor and praise His name. In the house of God, everything ought to be done to praise Him. And nothing that doesn't extol Him. Everything ought to be done to honor Him. And nothing to honor anyone but Him. Honor God in His house. In a few weeks, you'll see an article in the bulletin for you who don't get Brother Moose Park's bulletins by email. He wrote about the things we sing. The title of the article, I think, is Be Careful What You Sing. And we are very careful in selecting Him. Brother Lindsay does an outstanding job. You folks who sing do a great job. Very careful in selecting hymns. And if need be, we will alter the words of hymns to fit the doctrine of Holy Scripture. For you dare not sing God's praise and sing that which doesn't praise Him. You dare not sing and call it worshiping God and sing that which is contrary to the revelation of God. We sing that which is true to the book of God, the character of God, and the work of God. And in the house of God, we are to honor Him. That means all the tomfoolery that goes on in religion, all the entertainment and the baseball and soccer and football and youth this and old folks that and single this and married that, all that nonsense is totally out of place in the house of God. We come here to worship God, to extol His name, nothing else. I have every reason to magnify God's name, both before you and before the world, with all of my being. With the psalmist, my heart is resolved, I will praise Thee, O Lord my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify Thy name forever. For great is Thy mercy toward me, and Thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell. Oh, how great God's mercy is to me. And that mercy that I know, let alone the mercies of which I'm unaware, compel me to cry continually, not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto Thy name give glory for Thy mercy and for Thy truth's sake. Oh, how merciful God has been to me. How merciful God is to me. How merciful God has promised to be to me. His mercies are everlasting, and the mercies of the Lord are continually from day to day, new, fresh, every morning. Truly, His mercies are great. And it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. I say to you who know my God, oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt His name together. I can't tell you how many times, I told you sometime back when the year Shelby and I were engaged, I was in school in Springfield, Missouri. We were nearly 1,000 miles from one another. Didn't see each other but twice that year. But we wrote and called every day. And I suspect about every other letter had those words written on it. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt His name together. You young people, hear my voice. You mamas and daddies, teach your children and teach others you know. Don't even consider the possibility of taking for your companion someone with whom you cannot magnify God. Don't even consider that possibility. That's out of the question. That's out of the question. What a terrible, miserable life you live, both of you pulling in opposite directions. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, children of God. Whatever differences we may have, whatever things might divide us naturally, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt His name together. That's my first concern. Here's my second motive in bringing this message. I want you to trust Him. And the surest way to persuade anyone to trust Him is to tell folks who He is. If by the power and grace of God, the Holy Spirit, I can show you who He is, I'm confident you'll trust Him. If only you knew my God, you would trust Him. All who ever knew Him did. This is life eternal, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent. And they that know Thy name will put their trust in Thee. Now, our God reveals Himself by many, many names. One name is not sufficient to speak of Him and represent Him and reveal Him. Any more than one type is sufficient to represent Him and picture Him. But the most famous of His names, His redemptive covenant name, is Jehovah, as is given here in Exodus chapter 3 and verse 15. This is the name the great I Am gives to Moses. This is the name of Him who alone is necessary. He says to Moses, now, this is who I am. I am the necessary, self-existent, eternal God. I am Jehovah, the Jehovah God. I am the Lord God. Jehovah implies eternality. It comes from a root word which signifies to be. Jehovah is God who is. God who was, God who is to come. This is God's personal, proper, incommunicable name. Now that's a big fancy word. Makes me sound impressive. Incommunicable. What does that mean? That means this name is never given to anybody except God. Except once. And it's communicated one time. We'll look at that in a minute. This name, though, is that name which separates God from everything and everyone else. Jehovah. Jehovah. Many will speak of their God and call God by different names. But He who is our God is Jehovah. The Jehovah God. He who truly is God is Jehovah, the Jehovah God. And there is no other God. Everything that does not match up with His name, Jehovah, the Jehovah God, is nothing but an idol. The work of men's hands. They carry it here and set it there, and then they move along and they carry their idol over here and set it there. And folks look at their God, and they set Him up high, and they kneel down to Him, or they set Him down low and kneel down to Him. Doesn't matter. They put Him wherever they want Him and use Him however they want Him. Now, that doesn't just refer to men making idols that they can see. Not many people, except papists, in a sensible, educated day like ours. Not many people, except papists, worship gods they can see. Most people have carved out a god from the dark forest of their own depraved minds and say, "This is my God. Look how I made him. I won't worship a God like you talk about." And you're right. You won't unless you come to know his name. Unless you come to know who he is. Now let's see who he is. The Lord God uses this name Jehovah. I've got, from here on, got nothing new to say to you. You've heard all of this from me many times. But I want to show you and remind you of the names by which our God makes himself known. And I've just picked out a few. In Genesis chapter 22, you don't need to turn to the text unless you want to. You can write them down and look at them for yourself. But in Genesis 22, Abraham is with his son Isaac on Mount Moriah. And they're about to offer sacrifice to God. Isaac is the sacrifice. But Abraham had said to his servant, he said, "I and the lad are going to go yonder and we're going to worship God." Now Abraham's going up there to kill Isaac. And he said, "I and the lad, we will come back here in 3 days." He's going to kill Isaac, fully believing that God, who promised the Messiah through Isaac, would raise Isaac up from the dead. And Isaac got up in the mountain with Abraham. And he said, "Daddy, we got the wood, we got the fire. Where's the lamb for a burnt offering? I know we can't come to God without a sacrifice." And Abraham said, "My son, God will provide himself a ram or lamb for a burnt offering." And they looked and saw a ram caught in a thicket. And the Lord told Abraham, "Take the boy off the altar, put this ram here." And Abraham said, "Son, let's call this place by a good name." Listen to what he said, Genesis 22:14. Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh. "As it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen." That title, that name by which Abraham called upon God, Jehovah Jireh, means "the Lord will provide." It means "in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen." And this Mount Moriah, where Abraham offered Isaac, is probably the same as Mount Calvary around Jerusalem. The Lord God revealed himself to Abraham, and Abraham said, "There's a day coming when in the Mount of God, God's going to show himself by a sacrifice, and he will provide." The words Jehovah Jireh really carry shades of meaning. The Lord will see, and the Lord will provide, and the Lord will be seen in that which he provides. The Lord God sees our need, and he provides our need in his darling son, and he is seen in the provision that he makes. In Exodus chapter 15, Exodus 15, verse 26, we read, "If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and wilt do that which is right in his sight, and wilt give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee." I am the Lord that healeth thee. That is Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that healeth thee. The Lord Jesus Christ is our great physician. He is our healer. He and he alone heals the bodies of men from disease. I told you a few minutes ago, our brother Bob Duff is soon to leave this world. He's about to get better. No, he's about to get whole. I don't think I'll ever forget my last visit with my dear friend, Brother Charlie Payne, in Huntington, West Virginia. I went to see Charlie, and I didn't realize how sick he was. I didn't realize how frail he was physically. And I started leaving. I said, "Well, Charlie, I look forward to seeing you soon." He said, "Well, I'll be coming out of here soon. I'll either come out better or I'll come out well." He understood exactly what was about to take place. The Lord Jesus heals his own. He heals our diseases. No doctor can, no medicine can. He heals our souls. He heals our troubles. He heals everything. With his stripes, we are. Isn't that a wonderful word? With his stripes, we are healed. Look at chapter 17 of Exodus, verse 15. Our Lord's name is Jehovah Nissi, the Lord our banner. Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nissi. Our dear Savior is our ensign. He is the rallying point of his people, the banner lifted up for the gathering together of his people from the four corners of the earth. So we lift him high. And this ensign, this banner, is lifted high like the serpent lifted up before the children of Israel, perishing in the wilderness. And he draws all men, that is, he draws his people out of every nation, kindred, tribe, and tongue unto himself. Look at Exodus chapter 20. Exodus 20. In verse 2, here we see Jehovah Elohiki, that is the Lord thy God. I am the Lord thy God. He's about to give his law, his commandments. He's about to tell us what he demands of men. What he demands of you. What he demands of me. These are not suggestions. These are commandments. And you will either keep the commandment or you will perish under the wrath of God. This is what God, our God, commands. I'm the one who brought you out of Egypt and out of the house of bondage. Look at verse 5. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to any other gods, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God. Look at verse 7. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for he will not hold him guiltless. The Lord will not hold him guiltless who taketh his name in vain. The Lord God here speaks and gives his law, and he says, I am the Lord your God. That means you're my property. I possess you. I have power over you. I have the right to do with you what I will. I am your God. Ever bow to me. Ever surrender to me. Ever give way to me. Here's the fifth one. Exodus 31. Exodus chapter 31, verse 13. I love this. His name is Jehovah and Kadesh. That is the Lord which doth sanctify you. Speak thou unto the children of Israel, saying, Verily my Sabbaths ye shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations. Keep my Sabbath days. That is, every Saturday you rest and worship me. You keep my Sabbaths throughout your generations, because you must know that ye may know that I am the Lord that doth sanctify you. The word sanctify, I am the Lord who makes you holy. He said, walk before me and be holy. Be ye holy, for I am holy. But you can't do that. You can't do that. People tell us that we're justified by grace, we're sanctified by works. What nonsense. We're made holy by God's grace. Christ sanctified us in eternal election before the world was. Jude 1 says so. He sanctified us by his blood at Calvary. Hebrews 10 says so. And he sanctifies us by his Spirit in the new birth, giving us a holy nature, so that we are made the holiness and the righteousness of Christ himself, the very righteousness of God. Not only as far as our record is concerned, but in our own being, God gives us a holy nature. I am the Lord which doth sanctify thee, make thee holy. In the new birth, God our Savior comes by the power of His Spirit into the unholy sinner and makes himself in that sinner so that that sinner now has a new man. Listen to how the book describes him. Created in righteousness and true holiness. Created in righteousness and true holiness. Created justly in true holiness because of all that Christ has done for us. In Judges chapter 6, Gideon calls our Lord's name Jehovah Shalom, the Lord our peace. Judges 6:24. Then Gideon built an altar there unto the Lord and called it Jehovah Shalom. Unto this day, it is yet in Ophrah of the Azarites. That is the Lord our peace. Christ is our peace. He is our peace with God. He is our peace with one another. He breaks down the distinctions and barriers. I know that religious people can be mean as hell. Usually are. They're just contrary, griping, snobbish, divisive people. Now let me tell you something. David Coleman, griping, snobby, divisive people don't know God. They just don't know God. Whether that's you and me or anybody else, they just don't know God. Those who know Christ are at peace with God and at peace with one another and promote peace with one another. And He is our peace within. He is Jehovah Shalom, the Lord our peace. And then Elkanah in 1 Samuel chapter 1, in 1 Samuel the first chapter, goes up to worship the Lord. Annually he went up to worship the Lord where Eli was seated. And in verse 3 of 1 Samuel 1, the Lord, Jehovah, the Lord Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts is spoken of. And this man went up out of his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. That is unto Jehovah to Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts. What host is he talking about? All the host of heaven. All the stars and planets and angels and all the host of hell, all the demons and Satan and all the host of the earth, animal life and plant life and human life. He's the Lord of hosts. He is God who rules everywhere and everybody and everything all the time. Oh, now this is God, the God we worship, the God we trust. This name is expressive of His sovereign dominion and power over all His creatures. I love Luther's hymn. Did we in our own strength confide, our striving would be losing. We're not the right man on our side, the man of God's own choosing. Dost ask who that may be? Christ Jesus, it is He. Lord Sabaoth, His name. He who died in my stead is the Lord of hosts. From age to age the same, He must win the battle. Look in Psalm 7. Or you can just jot it down and look at it later. Psalm 7. Jehovah Ahelion, that is the Lord Most High. I will praise the Lord according to His righteousness. And will praise, sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High. For the Lord Most High, we're told in Psalm 47, is terrible. He's a great King. We have every reason to pray and trust our God with complete confidence. For he is the Lord Most High, governor over everything and everybody. Psalm 23, Jehovah Ra, the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. A little Sunday school girl was asked to quote Psalm 23, and she got up and quoted the first verse, and she said, "The Lord is my shepherd. He's all I want," and sat down. And she got it just right. The Lord is my shepherd. He's all I want. He's the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. He's the great shepherd who rules the universe for his sheep. He's the chief shepherd who's soon coming to gather his sheep whole. In Psalm 95, verse 6, Jehovah Hosinu, the Lord our maker. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before Jehovah Hosinu, the Lord our maker. He made us. He made us for himself. He made us his people. He made us new in Christ. Oh, let us worship and bow down to the Lord our maker. Look at Psalm 99. Psalm 99, verse 5. Exalt ye the Lord our God, Jehovah Eloheinu, the Lord our God. Verse 8, he says, thou answerest them, O Lord our God. I find it remarkable that God declares, you're mine. And by his word, he declares that he is ours. Our God. Take that possessive pronoun home with you and rejoice. He who is God. Jehovah, the Jehovah God. The only God there is in all his being is our God. Then in Jeremiah 23 and verse 6. In his days, Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is the name whereby he shall be called, Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. He is made of God unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Now, I said to you in the beginning, this name Jehovah is an incommunicable name of God. That is, it is a name given to none but God. But there's one exception. And maybe it's not an exception. Look at Jeremiah 33 and verse 16. Jeremiah chapter 33 and verse 16. This is talking about exactly the same thing Jeremiah 23:6 is, but it says something else. In those days shall Judah be saved, and Israel, or Jerusalem, shall dwell safely. And this is the name wherewith she shall be called, Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. What can that possibly mean? Does God call you and me the Jehovah Lord? Can that be? The Lord our righteousness? Jehovah Tsidkenu? Only if God becomes one of us. If God takes our nature into union with himself. Now, in the God-man, our mediator, who is God, we who are God's, chosen of him, redeemed by him, born again by his grace, made new creatures in Christ by his grace, we who are the righteousness of God in him, we who are made sanctification in him because he is our sanctification. If he, the God-man, is our Savior, we have life so perfectly, so completely in union with him by his grace that all he is, that man, in whom dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, all that he is, as the God-man, our mediator, we are in him. Because his name is Jesus, who saves his people from their sins. Jehovah Jesus, Jehovah who saves. He comes to save his people from their sins, and save them he does. Well then, may we trust him. They that know thy name will put their trust in thee. Jesus Christ is Jehovah. Jesus Christ is God. God incarnate. That means that his obedience as a man is of infinite worth, of infinite merit, of infinite efficacy. His righteousness is of infinite worth, infinite merit, infinite efficacy. His sin-atoning death is of infinite worth, infinite merit, infinite efficacy, because his name is Jesus, who came to save his people from their sins. And this is the name by which he makes himself known. God, our Savior. God, the Lord. God, omnipotent. God, who rules. God, who saves. May he be pleased to make himself yours. Amen.